Take this.
It's a Thursday morning. It's Thursday, April 8th, 2010. You're listening to Catholic Connection, Ave Maria Radio. Teresa Tomeo with you. Good to be with you on a cloudy morning, and it is going to get cooler. A lot cooler, as a matter of fact. Temperatures are going to go down, actually drop pretty quickly, and by midday this afternoon, they're saying in the 40s. So, and then tomorrow for opening day, it's only going to be a high of 50. So if you are going down to Tiger Stadium in downtown Detroit tomorrow, dress warmly. It's going to be a chilly one. As I was saying earlier this week, I really can't remember in all the opening days I covered, even at the old Michigan and Trumbull Tiger Stadium, and more recently at the new Comerica Ballpark, I can't ever remember a warm opening day. As a matter of fact, when they first opened Comerica Park, and I was down there for the opening of that, it was snowing. Really was snowing. And one of the newscasters on the set, they were doing live remotes, you know, because it was a new Comerica Park and whatnot. They actually built a little snowman and put it on their temporary news desk. It was hysterical. Well, not if you were out there in the cold. But anyway, it's not going to be that bad on Friday, tomorrow. So if you are going, have a good time, dress warmly, and be safe. As far as our forecast, we'll get to that in a second. I do want to let you know what's coming up on the program at the bottom of the hour. Tim Van Dam, who is a Catholic speaker, very involved in spreading Eucharistic adoration, especially in his home Archdiocese of Boston, is in town this morning. He's actually on his way to speak to a Catholic high school in Bay City. And he's going to discuss that with us, as well as his new position with the Catholic College, a real Catholic college. And then Dr. Pia De Seleni is going to be joining us on the National Hour at 15 minutes after. She wants to talk about a number of things, including, of course, the attacks on the church with the media regarding the priest scandal. And then, being that we are coming into Divine Mercy Weekend, we are going to talk about singer-songwriter Annie Cartel. And she has a great story about her conference that she did recently with speaker and Rwanda genocide survivor Immaculée Ilibagiza, and some amazing things that happened at that event. And she loves to talk about the Divine Mercy. She's all about that with her ministry. Her last name is spelled K-A-R-T-O, and she does conferences. In addition to doing music, she also speaks, and I've spoken with her before. Her website is anniecarto.com. I do want to remind you of a couple of things coming up next weekend. Big pro-life conference. We had Gianna Jensen on earlier this week, if you remember, and she was just delightful. She's one of the keynote speakers for the Pro-Life Youth Conference. The website is prolifeyouth.com. It's set for April 17th. Young people issuing a challenge. Come join the chorus of life. The conference registration is $15 if you pre-register by Saturday, and it's $20 at the door. Attendees also receive an all-new 2010 Pro-Life T-shirt. Registration opens at noon, the conference at 12:30, and concludes at 4:30 with Rosary and the Mass. It's going to be a great day for the young people. And here's the speakers. Now, we mentioned, of course, Gianna Jessen, and then also Michelle Yax, who's Executive Director of Mother and Unborn Baby Care Crisis Pregnancy Center, and photojournalist Michael Clancy, who took the famous picture of preborn 21-week-old Samuel grasping the doctor's finger, that powerful picture, in utero surgery to correct his spina bifida, will share what he views as his God-given mission to deliver the message his picture conveys. Jason Jones, a co-producer of Bella and founder of I Am Whole Life, will deliver the closing keynote, encouraging students to take the Whole Life Pledge. He promises to always promote and protect human dignity from the child in the womb to the child in Darfur, from the embryo to the embryo to the elderly, no matter what the cost. So it was going to be a lot of great things going on. And I'm so proud of these kids that work so hard in this conference. And let me give you a couple of phone numbers. And again, the website is prolifeyouth.com. And you can contact Daniel at 248-978-6227. Again, that's Daniel at 248-978-6227. Best bet, though, is to go to the Facebook page and also the website. The website is prolifeyouth.com. It has all the information there, in addition to some posters. And also, Archbishop Alan Vigneron will celebrate the Mass on 4:30 next Saturday. And then baby items will be accepted for local crisis pregnancy centers at the door. Isn't that great? So these young people, I'm telling you, They're so far ahead of where most of us were when it comes to the pro-life movement when we were in high school. We didn't even, you know, talk about any of that stuff. Gianna Jessen also speaking, of course. She's a Christian sister in the Lord who believes her life was given to her by the grace of God, and she shouldn't even be walking, but more miraculous still, she should not even be alive. Her biological mother was 17 when she had a saline abortion in her third trimester, and after being burned alive for approximately 18 hours in the womb from the saline solution, Gianna was delivered alive. Her website, if you'd like more information, is GiannaJessen.com, G-I-A-N-N-A, Jessen.com. So I just wanted to remind you about this wonderful pro-life youth conference. And my understanding, Rebecca Kiesling, who's an attorney and a pro-life activist, she's also speaking, is that this is not only for young people. I mean, obviously, it's mainly for young people, but a lot of parents are attending. And if you're interested in learning more about what the youth are doing, I would certainly check it out at ProLifeYouth.com. Also want to remind you that I will be speaking at the Lifespan Mother's Day Dinner, and that is coming up in May. That is coming up Tuesday, May 4th. Or is it Wednesday, May 5th? No, it's Tuesday, May 4th, and then Wednesday, May 5th, I'm down in Rockwood. And if you'd like more information on either of those events, for the Right to Life Lifespan Dinner, the Mother's Day Dinner, the theme is It All Starts with Mom, and I'm doing my talk, 10 Things, Timely Truths for Living a Godly Life. And then on Wednesday, down in Rockwood, I'm going to be doing my Handmaids of the Lord, Rediscovering the Dignity of Women talk. Both those talks are listed on my website at teresatomeo.com under the events page. So I do hope that you will check it out. Now at 8:06, let's take a look at our forecast. And as I said, whether you're listening on Berga Broadcasting, up north, or down here in Ave Maria Radio Land, you know what? You're going to need a jacket because it's going to be chilly. A lot colder than it has been. Today, up north, rain and, okay, I'm just the messenger, snow. That's what it says, rain and snow. But not until this afternoon, about 2 o'clock. High of only 36. Tonight, up north, snow showers likely after 8. And then cloudy, low around 29. For Friday, 30% chance of snow showers before 2 in the afternoon. Then cloudy, a high near 41. Saturday up north, a 40% chance of showers. And then on Sunday, sunny skies, a little bit nicer and a high near 60. Right now in the northern part of the state, 32 degrees. For the Motor City in southeastern Michigan, showers and possibly a thunderstorm this morning. Then more rain today. Temperatures falling to around 48 by later this afternoon. Tomorrow, cloudy, a high near 48. And then Saturday goes up again. Sunshine on Saturday and a high near 58. And then Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 63. Now, they're saying right now, for example, our temperature, 55, 56 degrees, is probably the warmest we are going to be today. Sorry. I'm just giving you the news and the weather. All right. Right now, on a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection, it's 8:08. We do have a few minor problems out there. For example, 696, this is both directions between DeQuinder and I-94. We have maintenance operations going on. Also, we have an accident. This is I-94 westbound, so going into the city of Detroit. I-94 westbound at East 12 Mile, we have an accident there. Also 94 westbound, this is at East Grand Boulevard. We have an accident which is on the right shoulder. That's a working accident that was just recorded about 10 minutes to 8. Also an accident, this is 75 northbound at West 9 Mile Road. There's an accident there. Three lanes are blocked, by the way. Also, some problems, 696 westbound at Ryan. We have an accident there. It's a working accident. Left lane is blocked still, recorded at about 735. And West Vernier Highway, we've got road construction there, 75 northbound. On a cloudy Thursday morning, it's 55 degrees in the Detroit area, about 32, 33 degrees in northern lower Michigan. Big story this morning, still the situation in West Virginia. 32 rescuers just began entering the West Virginia coal mine just before 5 o'clock this morning, Eastern Time, in an attempt to find four miners still missing since an explosion killed 25 people earlier this week on Monday. West Virginia's governor, Joe Manchin, says the search crews are doing all they can.
But right now, it's strictly rescue. We need to do everything we can. And every person in that mine, 32 people in that mine right now, are trying to find those four miners.
Rescue crews are entering the mine on rail cars, but will eventually have to go deeper into the mine on foot. It's expected to take them 2 to 3 hours to reach a pair of rescue chambers 5 miles underground that are stocked with food, water, and oxygen. The hope is that the missing miners got into the chambers and were able to use the supplies to survive. In other news this morning, the British Parliament dropping clauses in an education bill that would have made it mandatory for Catholic schools to provide, among other things, according to the Catholic News Agency, non-judgmental information about abortion and contraception to students as part of a new sex education initiative. The Sex and Relationship Education, or SRE, initiative would have also been required for children as young as 5. Oh, isn't that special? And would have forbidden parents removing their children from sex ed classes once they turn 15. London Telegraph reporting yesterday, conservatives within the House of Lords called the removal of the program from the larger bill a victory for simple common sense. They say if the bill had passed, conservatives said teachers in England would have been swamped with all kinds of red tape. And here's a very interesting story being reported by an Italian news agency. Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler hatched a plot to steal the Shroud of Turin, but was apparently thwarted by a handful of pretty quick-thinking Benedictine monks. Hitler dispatching aides to swipe the sacred relic believed to have been used to wrap the dead body of Jesus after visiting Italy in 1938. Vatican officials had it moved from south from Turin to a monastery in the country's Campania region. But Nazi henchmen eventually stumbling across the Shroud's hiding place. They were unable to find it because a group of brave monks surrounded the altar in which the artifact was stashed and pretended to pray. Well, they probably weren't pretending, they were probably praying. But it was enough to divert the Nazis. Their quick thinking meant Hitler, who historians say was obsessed with religious symbols and the occult, was never able to get his hands on the relic, which has captivated the minds of worshippers and skeptics for more than 500 years. And by the way, an estimated 2 million people from across the globe are expected to view the Shroud when it goes on view to the public later this month for the first time since 2000. And of course, we will be there. Ave Maria Radio. Steve Ray, myself, we are taking 3 buses completely sold out, and we leave, Lord willing, on May 11th, and we'll be in Turin for 2 days, and Steve and I will be calling in. We also have some very special pre-recorded interviews that we've done on the Shroud with Russ Brio and other experts that we'll be sharing with you once, God willing, we get overseas. So very excited about that trip and can't believe it's only about 5 weeks away. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has expressed his shock at the violence in the streets of Kurdistan, which has claimed at least 40 lives. As Nathan King reports, the Secretary General also calling on all sides to start dialogue and to calm the streets to prevent further bloodshed.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon was in Kyrgyzstan just last weekend, and he was greeted then by a protest at UN headquarters there, staged by human rights activists and journalists who were protesting at recent clampdowns on press and other freedoms. The UN Secretary General raised human rights concerns repeatedly during his visit, but UN officials have expressed amazement that the country had been plunged into crisis so soon after his visit. The UN has several projects in the country aimed at helping small businesses and encouraging civil society. Nathan King in New York.
A new report suggests a thick, smoldering cloud of dust and debris from the World Trade Center attacks has had a lasting effect on the health of thousands of first responders. The study is from research done at New York's Fire Department World Trade Center Monitoring Treatment Program. At Mount Sinai Hospital, researchers finding firefighters and paramedics who breathed in the toxic dust at Ground Zero had an initial decline in lung function during the recovery efforts and did not see improvements in the 7 years since the terror attacks. Dr. David Prezant is with the Albert Einstein College of Medicine.
Typically after a regular house fire, you have a return of lung function to normal levels in days or weeks. Very rare do you see something that's permanent. Here, we see a permanent, persistent reduction in lung function.
The report finding less than 3% of firefighters had abnormal lung function before 9/11, but that number skyrocketed following the attacks. An email in January from Toyota's top PR man warning company officials that it had to come clean about the problem of sticky gas pedals and runaway acceleration. Irv Miller saying, quote, "We are not protecting our customers by keeping them quiet," or keeping this quiet. He expressed hope that the problem does not, quote, put us out of business. Two major American air carriers are saying to be in major merger talks. U.S. Airways and United are deep into discussions to create one of the world's biggest airlines. The pair have discussed a merger a few times, announcing one in 2000, which was fiercely opposed by unions, and then trying again 2 years ago in 2008. Spokespersons for both companies have declined to comment. The leaders of the two airlines have spoken out in favor of more consolidation. People familiar with negotiations said a deal is not expected to be announced for several weeks and cautioned it still could fall through, as union opposition is expected to be strong this time around as well. And guess what? A healthy, balanced diet may not be the preventative cure to cancer. So for all of us have been eating all of our veggies and lots of lettuce, they're saying when it comes to cancer, it doesn't make that much of a difference. Now, that's according to a new study which found eating fruits and veggies does little to prevent the disease. However, as correspondent Nina Marie Potts reports, it doesn't mean we should be replacing the carrots and green peas with candy and potato chips.
The team of researchers reckons that only about 2.5% of cancer diseases could be prevented by upping the amount of fruit and vegetables a person eats. But experts warn it would be irresponsible to stop eating fruit and vegetables because a balanced diet can only be healthy. The five-a-day idea was born from a World Health Organization recommendation in 1990 that everyone consume at least 5 portions of fruit and vegetables a day to prevent cancer and other diseases. But research has failed to find enough evidence that the recommendation works. Nina Maria Potts, Brussels.
All I want to know is when our Cheez-Its, potato chips, salami, and cheeses, like, you know, not just Cheez-Its, but cheeses as in provolone cheese, when are they going to become a health food? I'm waiting for that study. But I won't hold my breath. Moving right along this morning, Spirit Airlines about to become the first domestic carrier to charge customers for carry-on luggage. CEO Ben Baldanza says they're just responding to passengers who want to pay less to fly.
By lowering fares, lowering check bag fees, making the boarding process easier, and even if you carry on a bag, you're still going to pay less than you used to pay before because the bag fee is less than the prices have gone down.
So does that mean that those of us who don't want to pay are going to have to, like, wear all of our clothes when we walk on the plane? There's a thought. Spirit's announcement comes as airlines look for ways to increase profits through new fees. Charging for checked luggage has caught on with several airlines. The new carry-on fee is expected to spark a fresh round and more intense consumer outrage. Cramming a bag under the seat will still be free, but using the coveted overhead bin could run as much as $45. $45. You've got to be kidding me. All right, finally this morning. We live in such a litigious society. Listen to this. A 16-year-old Arkansas boy suing his mother, accusing her of slandering him on his Facebook page. The teen claims his mother posted slanderous remarks about him on the site. His mom says she was just keeping an eye on her son's online activity. In court documents, he alleges she hacked into his account, changed his password, and posted things about his personal life. Her son lives with his grandmother, who has custodial rights of him, but the mom maintains she had a great relationship with him despite their living arrangements, and she says she believes she has a legal right to monitor her son's activities online and that plans to fight the charges. The prosecutor in the case is declining to comment, citing the boy's age. Unbelievable. Does this mean that other parents who are going to try to monitor their kids' habits on the Internet have to face lawsuits? That's just ridiculous. 19 minutes past 8, it's a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Cloudy and rainy out there right now. If you're listening on Berga Broadcasting in northern Lower Michigan or St. Ignace, rain today, possibly some snow. All snow expected after 2 o'clock, high near 36. Tonight, snow showers, low around 29. Tomorrow, 30% chance of snow, and then a high near 41. Nicer on Saturday, it's going to be cloudy. And you're going to see a high in the mid-40s. And then on Sunday, sunny skies and a high near 59. 32 up north for Detroit. Showers today and a possible thunderstorm. Temperatures falling to around 48. Tomorrow, cloudy, a high near 48. And on Saturday, sunny, a high near 58. And Sunday, sunny skies and nice again, a high in the low to mid-60s. 55 in the southeastern Michigan area right now. It's 8:20 when we come back. God's Amazing Mercy, according to our good friend, Sister Ann Shields. I'll tell you about a talk I heard last night when we come back.
Weingarts, everything from lawn to stone.
The sun is out, the grass is growing, and that can only mean one thing. It's time to get it done. Stop by Weingarts during our grand opening sale and check out our massive inventory of outdoor equipment, from walk-behind mowers, lawn and garden tractors, and zero-turn riders to chainsaws, blowers, and generators. Weingarts has it all from the quality brands you trust. Why should you buy from the local leader in outdoor equipment? Simple. Weingarts sells all the brands and models, so our experts can help you select the best product to fit your needs. And Weingarts provides world-class service and parts support to keep your equipment running at its best. Now through April 17th, Weingarts is offering free professional setup on all products and free delivery on purchases over $19.99. View all of the grand opening deals at Weingarts.com. When you're ready to get it done, stop by our locations in Utica, Farmington Hills, Cedar Springs, and Clarkston.
Weingarts, Weingarts, everything from lawn to snow.
Hi, this is Teresa Tamio. Are you a Catholic business owner? Well, did you know you can actually get 24-hour-a-day online advertising targeted to Catholic consumers who want to do business with other Catholics like you? And did you also know that rates start at less than a dollar a day? Well, when you display your business in the CatholicBusinessPages.com online directory, you will be reaching Catholic consumers who want to do business with you. So check it out. Go to CatholicBusinessPages.com, enter promo code AMR, and save.
Can't listen 24/7? Go to AveMariaRadio.net and subscribe to the Ave Maria Radio podcast. Listen to your favorite Ave Maria Radio programs or download them to your computer or handheld device. We've been storing Ave Maria Radio programs since 2007. You can even learn how to watch Cresta in the afternoon. Then stay on our website to learn about the great organizations that support Ave Maria Radio. Now you have even more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It's a Thursday morning edition of our program. You're listening to Ave Maria Radio, our website, AveMariaRadio.net. And don't forget, we have our spring membership drive. Can you believe it? Our spring membership drive, which is coming up right around the corner. It starts April 19th and runs through Friday the 23rd. And boy, we sure do hope that you're going to stop in, say hello, and support us. We'd love to see you. Come on by. It's always a lot of fun. Of course, several different guest hosts will be there, and then Al, myself, and Nick, and Kara, and Andrew, and Tom Lowy, and Mike Jones, and the whole gang. It's going to be a great week, and we really would like to see you support us, and we pray for all of you, and we pray that you'll continue to see a need for Ave Maria Radio, especially now in what's happening with our culture, especially the attacks on the Catholic Church. I can't think of a more important time. Yesterday, I was on with Divine Mercy Radio down in Melbourne, Florida, with Jerry Usher. Jerry was hosting their web, both their online and their on-air pledge drive, and we were both talking about what was going on in the media and the importance of having truth broadcast from Catholic media, primarily Catholic radio, because there's very little truth out there anymore. Speaking of truth, if you want some really good informational things on the faith, head over to the Divine Mercy Center this week. Divine Mercy Conference Week on the Spiritual Life, of course, in honor of Divine Mercy Sunday, which is coming up this weekend. A number of great speakers, including our very own Sister Ann Shields, host of Food for the Journey, and of course she's with Renewal Ministries and a well-known author and speaker. She gave a terrific talk last night. And by the way, if you'd like to check out all the activities, sjdivinemercy.org, sjdivinemercy.org. And the Mercy Center is on Chesterfield Avenue in East Point. And here's the phone number, 586-777-8591. And again, that phone number, 586-777-8591. I went last night and was able to spend a lot of time with my dear friends who are on the board of directors, Carol and Bill Brewis, and also Catherine Lonnie and her husband Mike and their wonderful children. And Tim Van Dam was also there. He's staying with the Brewises. He's going to be on the show with us in a few minutes. And it was just so good to be there, to hear Sister Ann Shields speak, but just to be in that place. It's such a holy place, and the minute you walk in, it's just kind of your whole body kind of settles because you just sense the peace and the presence of God. And anyway, you know, when I heard that Sister Ann was speaking, I didn't want to miss it because I just really enjoy her. Now, she and I have actually done conferences together, and we're actually speaking together at the end of the month up at the Lift Jesus Higher Rally in Toronto. And I've also spoken with her at some women's conferences around the country, and I'm just so excited to be able to speak with her But again, her talk last night was fantastic. She was asked to talk on the mercy of God. And she said, when God forgives, God forgets. She quoted a lot of great scripture references, including Ephesians 2, verse 4, where St. Paul talks about, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God still loved us and forgave us. And she also quoted Isaiah 42 and 44, as far as the east is from the west, so have our sins been wiped clean. And then also a beautiful verse in Isaiah 44, where the Lord talks about, in terms of our sin, it's like when we come back to God and we say we're sorry for our sins, it's very similar. The analogy in that particular chapter of Scripture is talking about when the sun rises and there is a mist, you know, over the ground or in the air, and once the sun hits it, it's gone. She also quoted G.K. Chesterton, which I love him. I love his quotes. I love his writings. She said, God made us in his image and likeness, and we are forever trying to return the favor or the compliment. Now, what does that mean? That means that we want to make God in our own image, right? And we want to play God. And we want to forgive and accept and dispense mercy as we think that should be done. But we're supposed to be more like God and not, you know, make God like us. And many people, she said, walk around very downtrodden because they are weighed down by the chains, the balls and chains of their sin. And they think that God could never, ever forgive them. And she stressed several times during the talk that we are truly sons and daughters of God and that we had to remember that. And several times during the presentation, she also suggested that we go into the bathroom and look in the mirror and say, I am a daughter or a son of the King. And to say it until the words sink in. And I would say that is a very, very good thing to do because I run into so many people, especially women, who are struggling with so many issues and attacks from the culture or dealing with, you know, post-abortion and issues with contraception and problems in their marriages and all kinds of things where they just don't feel loved or they just don't ever feel good enough. They're always trying to measure up and they're always trying to consider their worthiness based on their circumstances, whether their marriage is perfect, whether their kids are perfect, whether the job is perfect, whether the house is perfect. And that none of that matters to God. Just by being, Sister Anne said, his mercy is so great that just by being and the fact that we were conceived and that we had the opportunity to come into this world, just by being a human being made in his image and likeness, his mercy is there and he loves us. And she says, equal to his majesty is his mercy. And that's from Sirach. And again, reminding us that his mercy is new every morning. She said, in order to be merciful, we need to know who we are. Because if we don't know who we are in Christ, then we can't give mercy. We want revenge. We want to attack. We want to get back at people who have hurt us. And she also quoted John Paul II because I'm so glad she did this because a lot of people who aren't believers don't understand what forgiveness really is. They think forgiveness is rolling over and playing dead or putting a kick me sign on our back. And she quoted John Paul II and she said, forgiveness is not the opposite of justice, but it is the opposite of vengeance and revenge. Forgiveness is not the opposite of justice, but it is opposite of vengeance and revenge. So in other words, we leave the vengeance up to God. And the forgiveness, though, we have to forgive and love as God forgives and loves us. That doesn't mean if there was a wrong that we can't point it out. For example, John Paul II. Remember when he was shot in St. Peter's and he went to see, when he got out of the hospital, he went to see Ali Agha in prison. And they had a brief meeting, and he forgave him. Ali Agha still remained in prison. He had to, you know, there's a consequence to sin. So it doesn't mean that someone who commits a crime or a wrongdoing is allowed to continue to behave in a very, very dangerous way, unproductive way, mean way, or that behavior is going to be enabled. It just means that we are going to forgive the person. So we too can be forgiven and then move on with our life. But she just stressed God's mercy over and over and over again, and that we have no idea how big God's mercy is, and to really take to heart this beautiful week as we head into Divine Mercy Sunday. Equal to His Majesty is His mercy. That's from the book of Sirach. And I think I really felt that. I was talking to my friends Carol and Bill last night about watching The Passion of the Christ, and I think I mentioned this to you guys earlier this week as well. It's become a tradition where a lot of people, including in our house, watch The Passion on Good Friday. And it doesn't get any easier. The more you know about God, the more you know about faith, the more you know about what God did for us on the cross, I think the harder it gets to watch that film. Because you just realize how much work we have to do and how we are so undeserving. But at the same time, it makes us realize how much God loves us and how big and bottomless His ocean of mercy is. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are forgiven. The mercy of God. Again, for more information on the Spiritual Life Conference going on all week long, goes on through Sunday, and we'll have a beautiful Divine Mercy Sunday Mass on Sunday, obviously, April 11th. The Mass actually is at, 5:30. Holy Mass, Blessing of the Image of Divine Mercy. And so that's coming up this weekend. Things get underway with the Chaplet of Divine Mercy there, though, at 4:30. Oh, no, that's at Holy Family. There's two locations. If you're up in the northern Macomb County area, you can go to Holy Family Parish, and the Mass is at 5:30. At St. Barnabas in East Point, the Mass is at 4 o'clock, and the blessing with the first-class relic of St. Faustina will take place after that. 2 to 4 p.m., Exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, Confession in the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. This is in East Point. 4 o'clock, Holy Mass. And then 5 o'clock, a blessing with the first-class relic of St. Faustina. And then also Divine Mercy Sunday activities going on up at Holy Family in Memphis. For more information, though, 586-777-8591 or sjdivinemercy.org. It's 8:32 on a Thursday. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
We've entered a new calendar year. Father Ricardo has prepared a proposal for 2010. It's a call to each of us to be intentional Catholics, and before anything else, to be disciples of Jesus, to manifest Jesus to others, and to bring the Lord into every situation we are in. On our program this week is Father Ricardo's proposal for 2010. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEL, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the answer.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. When Jesus stood before Pilate, he said, "I came into the world to bear witness to the truth, and all who are on the side of truth listen to my voice." At Ave Maria Radio, we take his testimony seriously and believe that necessity is laid upon us, woe unto us, if we do not proclaim the gospel day in and day out. In every broadcast, we bear witness to the salvational truth of Christ and his church, hoping that by the grace of God and by means of the Holy Spirit, we might reach all who are on the other side of this microphone. As a listener, you take part in this proclamation as well by supporting us with your prayers and pledges. I'm constantly aware that Catholic Radio's mission of truth can be stifled or even silenced without your support. And that's why I'm asking you to join with us again during our spring membership drive, April 19th through 23rd. I'm asking you to tune in and pledge, give generously, and give prayerfully from your heart. I look forward to talking to you.
Like a New Year's resolution, use the Easter season to follow through on your promises made during Lent. Our Lady of Grace bookstore inside Domino's Farms is a wonderful resource to know the teachings of the Catholic Church. When you read Mother Angelica's new book, The Prayers and Personal Devotions of Mother Angelica, you get the most intimate portrait yet from one of the world's great women of faith. This Little Prayer of Mine is a wonderful children's book that is very relatable to them and their parents. It also reminds children that they can trust God to care for them. Through the Maternal Instinct serves a handbook for Catholic moms. Lisa M. Henley helps nurture your heart, mind, body, and soul. And finally, for the philosophically curious, The Heavens Proclaim, how the study of the universe is connected to faith. It's all at Our Lady of Grace Bookstore inside Lobby C of Domino's Farms. Our Lady of Grace Bookstore has all your needs for Easter, Mother's Day, and First Communion. Call 734-930-3747. That's Our Lady of Grace Bookstore, 734-930-3747.
835, welcome back. Catholic Connection on a chilly Thursday morning, and we have some problems on the roads. We have some accidents around town. For example, still a working accident, and this is on 75 northbound, west 9 Mile Road area. Three lanes are still blocked, and that was as of about 8:27. Some good news on the east side. This is 94 westbound heading into the city before East 12 Mile Road. The accident has been cleared. We have some maintenance operations that are still going on, though, on 696, and that's both ways between DeQuinder and I-94, which is very, very busy. All right, we have also maintenance operations, I-94, both ways on the east side between 8 Mile and 23 Mile Road. Also, northbound Allen Road at Northline. There's road maintenance operations there. And then 696, actually, westbound at Ryan, that accident was also cleared from earlier. Okay, listen up, all you WMAX listeners. We'll talk tomorrow, coming up at All Saints High School in the Bay City area tomorrow morning with our friend Tim Van Dam. Tim is the Vice President for Admissions at Magdalen College, also development there. And they've got a big summer youth program coming up. We'll talk about that. But first, I want to find out, how in the world did Tim Van Dam, my buddy who's half Italian from Boston, get chosen to speak at this high school? What happened? Were they like digging from the bottom of the barrel? Just kidding. You know I love you. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Excellent. Yeah, no, it's I got chosen because one of the alumni, Mark Gravlin, works for the diocese and does a lot with youth ministry. And we had been talking about a trip out to the Detroit area. And so he was able to connect with All Saints and is having me come in and share my talk.
Now, what's your talk? Is it your testimony, or what are you going to be sharing with the kids?
A little bit. You know, one of the things, I did a series, Christ Speaks in the City, which the Cardinal did as well in Boston, and my talk there was There is Truth, My Discovery of the One True Faith, and really just kind of touches on that sort of cultural Catholic environment and some of the relativism that sort of crept in and just say, wait a minute, no, there is truth. And, you know, here's my experience, here's my story of how I came to find that this is really true, our faith is true.
What started you on that journey, I mean, to really embrace your faith?
Well, you know, like many people, it kind of kicked off with a crisis, and I really turned and started praying, and, you know, I prayed more, than I was blessed that I felt, the way I put it is, I felt like God was in my face. It was, you know, for the first time, it was, miracles were happening on a daily basis, to the point that I remember a week later sitting down with a priest friend of mine, and I said, what's going on? I feel like I'm losing my mind. This is like, I feel like I'm turning into a religious nut. And he's like, he starts laughing. He goes, yeah, that's how God works. I said, well, okay, well, he never worked that way for me. So... and just, you know, from that, then, you know, that initial spark, really, I started to read, I started to ask questions, I started to pick up scripture, which I dug out of my closet. I've got this old beat-up Bible that I still keep as a reminder because I didn't have the heart to throw it away, but I never opened it since high school. And here I am as an adult finding the Bible and saying, wait a minute, now I want to know, like, this is the Word of God. What's he saying? Well, what is this? What's going on? And that... really kind of brought me deeper in my faith.
Do you see that changing in Boston? I know they have a pretty big men and women's conference out there, that you're involved in the men's conference. Because Boston is one of those areas that is so Catholic, but that is so poorly catechized. And we can see that, you know, in the politicians that have come out of that area. Not to mention, you know, what has happened in a lot of different things in that area of the country. What are you seeing in terms of change?
I'm seeing a lot of really great things happening in Boston. You know, it is true. Boston is very much that sort of cultural Catholic mecca, so to speak. But But, you know, I think God does great things in the most unlikely places. And one of the things that we talked about last time I was on your show was we started Perpetual Eucharistic Adoration, which we brought back after a 40-year absence in the city of Boston. And there was a huge article on the front page of the Boston Globe. You can see that at adorationboston.org. And there, you can actually click in and you see that the Eucharist, the picture of the Eucharist, made the front page of the Boston Globe. So, you know, there's really good things happening. There's some great priests. The vocations are up, and things are happening. You know, since Adoration, there's been about four new lay Catholic houses that have sort of sprung up just on their own, just people getting together wanting to live the faith, which has been a really powerful witness.
So will you be talking about the Eucharist with the kids tomorrow?
Yeah, I can't get up and talk without talking about the Eucharist, because that's one of my really pillars. As through Our Lady, Our Lady is a big part of my story, bringing me to her Son, which she always does, and through that, developing a greater love for the Eucharist. And of course, that's hand in hand with confession, because the more you realize what's actually that this is truly our Lord, the more you want to be cleansed, and then you're receiving graces from both, which kind of, for me, dragged me down that path of holiness, for sure.
Well, I think, too, if you can grasp it at a young age, it'll help keep you grounded, don't you think?
Oh, it's a gift. I mean, that's, right now, you mentioned that I'm the head of admissions and development at Magdalene College, and it's a small school in Warner, New Hampshire, and I see these kids that have this formation, that are grasping truth, that are seeking this, and I'm blown away because I said, man, if I had what you guys have now when I was your age, I would have saved myself a whole lot of misery.
Mm-hmm. So how do you apply this at the college level now that you're working with young people at the college level as well?
Well, you know, at the college level, it's an opportunity on a daily basis to witness my faith, to lead, especially with the young men and sort of challenge them in their faith, because it's, you know, sometimes we can get into that headiness. We know the faith inside and out, but it has to come from the heart, and it's how we live our faith. It's not how much you know. That doesn't really mean much. It's, you know, are we being authentically Catholic? So I work myself as best I can, and as a very flawed human being, but trying to be that example, and then also to trying to reach out and bring other folks in. You know, we've got these summer youth programs where high school kids will come in and they'll sort of get a taste for the life. They'll learn about the catechism, the great books, and you know, so to be a part of something where I'm giving young people at least an opportunity to get a taste of something of truth. I feel like that's a worthy endeavor for sure.
How important is it to be real with the kids? I think some of the problems, and it was interesting because I'm taping some interviews in preparation for my trip overseas in a couple weeks and talking with Bert Gezzi, who's a wonderful expert on the saints, and we did an interview, taped an interview yesterday on Pier Giorgio Frassati. He said he's one of his favorites. He's a blessed, as canonized should, of course, but he said what he loves so much about Frassati is that he was so real. He was young. He was a jokester. He liked to have fun. He was into sports. You know, he seemed approachable. He was approachable, and he is approachable, and we can ask for his intercession, of course. But I think that's so true, where sometimes a lot of us look at some of the people who have been saints and say, oh, my gosh, I could never, ever be that holy. We just don't think we could accomplish it. But when you have a realness about you, and I think you have that too. As a matter of fact, you remind me. I have a picture of Pier Frassati on my bulletin board in my studio, and you remind me of him because you're a funny guy. You're a lot of fun to be around. How important do you think that is with young people?
I think young people, especially today, I mean, they can sniff out a phony right away. It's interesting. I had lunch a couple days ago with Justin Fatica, the guy that runs Hard as Nails Ministries, and I was passing through Syracuse. We stopped in, and we were talking about this, about young people, and he's like, these kids, he goes, you can't pitch. You can't pitch anything because everything is a pitch for them. Everything, everywhere they turn, someone's pitching something. He's like, you got to be real. You got to share from your heart. It's the relationship piece that kids are starving for today. You know, there's no relationships. There's no, you know, and so you have to, if you speak from your heart, which I try to do, I just say, hey, look, believe me, but this is what happened with me. This is my story. So you take it or leave it, but there is truth, and you at least have to find out for yourself. Don't believe because I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find out for yourself. And, you know, it's been well received thus far.
And so you're speaking twice at All Saints tomorrow, right?
I'm speaking once at All Saints, and then I got to hit the road. I'm heading out to Chicago for the conference, the Institute on Religious Life conference with Archbishop Berg.
Now, in terms of the talks, are you doing it to all the grades, or is it specific grades tomorrow at All Saints?
This one tomorrow will be for the juniors and seniors.
Okay, all right, great. And what time is that, Tim?
It's going to be at 8:30.
All right, and that's up in the Bay City area, All Saints High School. Tim Van Dam will be speaking there tomorrow. He's the Vice President for Development and Admissions at Magdalen College. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what else is going on at the college and summer youth camps, and also what else we can do to keep our young people strong in the faith. It's 8:46. It's a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Teresa Tamio with you. You're listening to Ave Maria Radio. And coming up in the National Hour, Dr. Peter De Seleni and also Annie Carto on Divine Mercy Sunday. We'll be right back.
The Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, are one of the fastest-growing religious communities in the country, and we are blessed to have them right here in Michigan. The Sisters provide an outstanding Catholic education to children in kindergarten through 8th grade at Spiritus Sanctus Academy with locations in Ann Arbor and Plymouth. Join the Sisters for their 14th annual scholarship dinner auction at the beautiful Inn at St. John's in Plymouth on Friday, April 23rd. You'll experience a gourmet strolling supper, professional auctioneer, and Channel 7's Vic Faust as Master of Ceremonies. Enjoy an evening of fun while helping provide a life-changing Catholic education for the next generation. You can also view their many unique items and bid online at spiritussanctus.org or call 734-930-4214 for more information. That's spiritussanctus.org or 734-930-4214. Spiritus Sanctus Academy, affordable Catholic education for all families. See you at St. John's in Plymouth on April 23rd.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. All are invited to join Helpers of God's Precious Infants for their prayer vigil for life Saturday, April 10th, beginning at Assumption Grotto in Detroit. The day begins with Mass, followed by a prayerful, peaceful pilgrimage on foot to two area abortion mills. Bring a friend and save a life. For further details, call 313-530-4539. Don't miss the Latin Tridentine Mass offered at St. Joseph's Church in Detroit Sunday, April 11th. The Mass will be accompanied by chamber orchestra featuring Mozart's Sparrow Mass. Private confessions will be available from 1 until 3 p.m. Call 248-250-6005 for more information. You can find many more events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077.
It's 8:48. It's a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Dress warmly because the temps are going to drop. We've had this great early spring weather, mid-70s, 73, 74 degrees, but now we are going to be back actually below normal. It's only going to be a high in the low 50s today and about 50 tomorrow. So, again, as I've been mentioning, if you're heading down to Michigan and Trumbull, which is not Michigan and Trumbull, the Comerica Park, listen to me, I'm revealing my age here. If you're heading down to Comerica Park to see the Tigers' opening game for the 2010 season, again, wear something, a sweater and a jacket because it's going to be cold, a high of only 50, and the sun's not going to be out, so dress warmly. All righty, we are talking with Tim Van Dam, who is a Vice President for Development and Admissions at Magdalen College in New Hampshire. He's also speaking tomorrow up in WMAX territory at All Saints High School. That's in the Bay City area. I wanted to talk to you, Tim, a little bit about your work at the college. How did you come to get this position? I know you formerly worked with Immaculate Ilbagiza, which was a great experience for you. What brought you into working with colleges?
Well, I had been in connection with Jeff Carls, who's the president of the school, and Joe Gemmel is a good friend of mine. He's on the board. Magdalen's about an hour away from Boston, about an hour and 15 north. And so I went up to the school and got to know them a little bit, and they said, man, wouldn't it be great if we could, you know, have you here full-time? And I said, yeah, well, you know, we'll see. And then they asked me to be a member of the board, and I went up there to go and connect with the board. And at the time, I was doing some corporate work, but really not loving it. And then we went up and we started talking, and then the timing worked out perfect. And they called and they said they needed somebody, and I was ready. And so it really happened pretty quickly. Within about a week and a half, 2 weeks, it went from just an idea to, next thing you know, I'm there starting work and off and running.
Tell us about the summer youth camp.
Summer youth camps are great. There's three different sessions. So they start in June 20th to July 3rd, and then they go July 7th to the 20th, and then the 26th to August 8th. And the high school kids will come in. There's usually about anywhere from 30 to 40 kids per camp. And they'll come in and they get a taste of what the school's all about. So they're on the mountains of New Hampshire. They're hiking. They're going into day trips into Boston. They're going to Mass every day. They're having the professors teach them some of the catechesis, some of the great books program. So the whole school is based on the Socratic method. So these kids really learn how to think, how to engage. And so these programs, with a couple of weeks, they're geared toward high school kids, so they're a lot of fun, but they're also getting a taste of, you know, what it would be like to be at Magdalen over the long term.
How practical in terms of, you know, going to these youth camps do you think this is in terms of kids taking time off, things like that?
Well, I mean, they're during the summer, and, I think that most times people can carve out a couple of weeks. I know when I was in high school, I always there were different things that I did, or trips or family vacations. It's the kind of thing where if you really want to go, usually you can find the time to go. And I think that, you know, that there's a... The way the folks that have been doing this for a number of years, they said the last day is always a tear fest because nobody wants to leave, you know. So they're all, they've had such a great experience. And about 70% of the students that end up coming to the school have gone through the summer youth program. And so that's I think, speaks for itself in that they come there, they fall in love, and then they go home and they really they want to do it. And a lot of kids go on to other things, but either way, that 2 weeks of, you know, sort of a solid catechesis and a shot of truth, similar to what I'm talking about, I think is time well spent.
Do they have to be students at the college, or could they be from elsewhere if they want to get involved in the camp?
Oh, no. The kids come from, we've got kids that come in from Alaska. We've got kids coming from California. Kids come from all over, and what they'll do is they'll fly in either to Boston or to Manchester, and then we pick them up. We take care of making sure they safely get from the airport up to the camp and then back. And so that's kind of how it works. And it comes out to be, I think right now it's $700 for the camp, which comes out to be about $50 a day.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your meals, that's your the transport, that's any trips, that's paying the teachers. So it's really... it's a really good deal for something like that.
What's the age range for the camps?
It can be anything from 15 to 18 years old.
Mm.
So it's kids that have typically finished their freshman year in high school and up.
Let's talk a little bit in terms about the comparison between youth camps, and I know you're a lot younger than me because you're only in your early 30s, but, I mean, when I was growing up, I never did the youth camp. You know me. You've traveled with me before. My idea of roughing it is a Hilton without cable, so I wasn't going to be one that was going to go out in the woods and sing Kumbaya. But even the Christian youth camps, you know, growing up, talking to my friends, there wasn't a lot of... I mean, there were some faith-based activities, but not a lot.
Yeah, you know, this is so funny because I tell you, I was involved in every Catholic activity growing up. I was in CYO. I did retreats. I ran retreats. I did all. Looking at that, the people that I was around, the kids that were around, there was no sense of truth. It was just something we did. You went to hang out with these people, and when I happen to hang out with this group of kids, we also talk about God. We make each other feel good, but it doesn't translate to how we actually live our lives. And I think that's what's so unique about, you know, being around these kids at Magdalen. It's saying, you know, these kids are actually trying to live the faith. And And there is a sense of truth, and there is this sense of catechesis. And I just didn't have that growing up. I think, you know, I had a lot of good people, but it was much more of a cultural, you know, well, you know, I'm Catholic because I'm Catholic. I don't know why. You know, this is what I do, not who I am.
So if people want information, how do they find out about the camps?
You can go right on magdalen.edu, magdalen.edu, and like Mary Magdalene, and there's a tab right on the front page. It says Summer Youth Programs, and there's an online application. There's a PDF file, a brochure, so you can really get a good sense of it.
How many kids can you take?
You know, we try to keep it anywhere from 30 to 50 per camp, so we're getting close to maxing out right now because they do fill up pretty quickly, but we do still have some spots open, and so I'd certainly welcome people to come, or if you have more questions, they can always call the school, and you know, either myself or Bobby Ann Abson would be happy to answer any questions that folks would have.
So you don't have to be from that area. As you said, you have people from all over the country, even as far away from
No, in fact, most of the people that do come, most of the kids that come are not from the area. You know, we have, there's certainly a decent percentage, but kids come from all over the country for this, and I think it's worth it.
Tim, thanks, and safe travels and all the best at your talk tomorrow at All Saints High School, and that, of course, is in the Bay City area. You're speaking to juniors and seniors, and then, of course, all the best with your new position. And thanks for being so open and for working with the young people. I think it's just great to have somebody like you there who's just a lot of fun and just real and who's had a very interesting journey, and I'm sure it's going to be continuing to be an interesting one. Tim Van Dam, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, you can always call me at 617-501-3950, or you can just go to the Magdalen website, and you can click on either development or admissions, and that gets to me as well.
All right, thanks, Tim. God bless, and we'll talk to you folks in the National Hour coming up.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Your home is an expression of your taste and style. Let Independent Carpet One inspire and guide you with our expertise in finding the perfect floor to fit your personality and lifestyle. With over 1,000 stores worldwide, we have enormous buying power. Just tell us your needs and we'll satisfy them beyond your expectations. If you don't absolutely love the way your new Carpet One floor looks, we'll replace it free. After all, this is your home we're talking about. Call Independent Carpet One at 734-447-5449.
The Ann Arbor Catholic Men's Night welcomes Jim Berlucci of the Spitzer Center for Ethical Leadership to their next meeting this Thursday, April 8th. Come for Mass at 7:30, followed by Jim's talk, who will question you about your signature strength. This special meeting will not be near Domino's Farms. Instead, the Catholic Men's Night will be at St. Thomas the Apostle Church in downtown Ann Arbor. For more information, call 734-930-4524 or surf to catholic-men.org on the Internet.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo. Many people today claim that truth is relative, that what's true for you isn't necessarily true for me, or that truth changes over time, depending upon circumstances, or that real truth, well, that can just never be known. Well, that just isn't so. Truth is a person, and that person can be known. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth,